Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Are we ready?
What was that?
That was Jules Holland.
Thank you, Jim. Well, I don't know if Jim thinks it sounds like that. He just knows what I'm doing.
Do Pingu.
No.
Come on.
No.
That's Daffy Duck, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay. If you can do a duck or similar impression, then I'll do Pingu of something. And it has to be above the bar that I'm going to set.
Should we do the intro like our respective impersonations of ducks?
Come on, Jim. What was that?
That was the same duck.
Can't take the T-shirt on the Roger like a duck.
No, we're not. We've had that duck. Do another duck.
Yeah.
No. So just a real duck.
Do Ed the duck.
That was... Come on, give us a Pingu.
There you go. All right, are we ready?
It's great.
And I guess that's why they call it the Blues, everybody. Welcome to the Football Ramble. Manchester City have taken a step closer to the treble. It's Monday for the June. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Jim Campbell.
And I'm Dushan Hantaraja.
Hi, everybody. Good to have you with us. Oh, it's the start of the working week, Jim Campbell, and you are looking bright-eyed and bushy-tailed.
Thank you, mate.
Vish?
Yep.
How you doing?
Good, good.
Big one, was it?
No, just hay fever. It's a lot of bleary-eyed hay fever on this side of the room.
Oh, dear. Yeah. Sorry, I've got mine out of the way, so I'm now good.
Yeah, mine decided to start as I'm about to get into a busy period of following a summer sport, for fuck's sake.
Yeah.
So that's good.
If only someone hadn't have chosen your career for you. let's have some highlights of the weekend. Jim, why don't you get us off to a brilliant start?
I'm going to. Graham Souness back at Galatasaray. I don't know if anyone's seen this during the rounds, but Galatasaray won the league in Turkey over the weekend, and Sui was back at the end of the match. He was roaming around the pitch, waving that flag around. I want to make it clear he was invited to.
Yes.
And he didn't, you know, this wasn't the same as him, you know, forcing the flag into his rival's pitch, but it was obviously a reference to that.
Indeed, yeah.
And it was beautiful.
It was. And that footage of Souness when he... They were away from home, weren't they, when they won the league? When he was manager of Galatasaray.
I think to Fenerbahce.
It was a rival. And he planted the flag in the middle of the pitch, which is like just...
Proper declaration of war after you've won the war.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, no, it's a conquering, isn't
it? I suppose it is, yes.
It's dare I say colonisation.
But the thing about Souness putting the flag in there is a lot of them were still about. When the other army's done.
Yeah, totally, yeah. It was unwise, ultimately.
Great turn of pace, though.
Yeah?
Gets out of the way of a few kicks.
In my head, he's wearing a full shell suit.
Yeah. Yes.
No, he was.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah,
it was an exceptional moment.
It was an exceptional moment, no two ways about that. And it was lovely that they did a nod to that.
Yeah.
Lovely.
Okay. Yeah, it's conflicting, isn't it?
It is.
But let's not pretend we don't enjoy these things.
I bloody enjoyed it and I'm glad it happened. Great start. Vish.
My highlight of the week comes from the A-League, predictably.
You absolutely love it, don't you?
I do, but this was the grand final.
Right.
So I've got more reason than any to have it as my highlight of the weekend. Mm-hmm. Also, our friend and my friend and yours even,
yeah.
Jason Cummings.
Yep.
Got a hat trick for Central Coast Mariners against Melbourne City.
Oh, yeah, did he?
Jason Cummings, I was going to say affectionately known as a cum dog, known by himself and thus now the rest of the world as the cum dog.
Yeah.
Responsible for one of the greatest lines of commentary when he scored his first goal. His deal is up with the A-League this season, and there's talk of him going to India.
Mm-hmm.
And so the commentator, upon him scoring that opening goal, obviously he went on to score a hat trick, but the first goal was all the more important because it provided us with this piece of commentary. He might be about to leave for India and become the cum dog millionaire.
Oh my goodness. That is quite good, actually.
Yeah. Cum dog millionaire.
For that amount of context to a line, for that to just be a relevant statement is fantastic. Well done, reality.
But you know, we talk about like, you know, on the drop-in, we've had various different commentators talk about, you know, their process, and they all have their colour-coded notes, and they are so diligent with what they do.
Trust the process and all that.
Yeah.
But a professional...
Wankers say that, don't they?
No.
Not having that, mate.
Really?
Not having you having a dig at Mikel Arteta.
Yeah,
like
he started it.
Season's over.
He never started it. Loads of people say trust the process.
Uses it a lot. Okay. Yeah. Emil Smith Rowe had it tattooed on himself in Spanish this weekend.
No, he didn't.
He did, yeah.
No, he didn't.
He did. Okay.
He might not even be there next year. What's he doing?
I think that's probably a sign that he will be there next year.
Imagine if he sells it now, though.
That would be.
Oh, I got your slogan.
But if he sold him to Manchester City, he would then trust their process, and no doubt that would be better off for it.
Maybe he just likes process.
Yeah, true enough. Anyway, sorry, Vish. Are you still going on about this?
No. Well, you asked me what the highlight of the week was. That is it.
Okay.
Are you still going on about it?
You've gone rogue already. We're, what, 6 minutes in?
Oh, dear. Great. So, cum dog millionaire. Yeah.
I mean, that's a great line, isn't it?
It really is.
You liked it 2 minutes ago.
I still like it now. But I'd like to stop talking about it, if that's okay.
So would I. You asked me.
We'd all like to stop talking about the cum dog, but he won't let us.
Stop
he
saying cum dog.
He just keeps popping up.
God, Benny. My highlight of the weekend was Manchester City taking the step closer to the treble. That's my highlight.
Do you feel good about that?
I feel really good.
Do you like that?
I'm really good. It was just, you know, the same weekend Celtic won the Scottish Cup. RB Leipzig won the German Cup.
Yeah.
Just a very romantic weekend for football.
It was,
you know. Well, let's go to the FA Cup final. Manchester City 2, Manchester United 1. And they are two-thirds of their way through a treble. And Guardiola himself said, now we can talk about the treble. And I thought to myself when he said that, ooh, is that the moment? Is that the moment where they take their eyes off? But yeah, look, it's, you know, you can't deny it. They are a phenomenal side. And 12 seconds, was it? Or someone saying 13 in?
Couldn't believe it.
It was just one of those moments where you just go, it's their year, isn't it?
Yeah.
It really is their season. The one thing I always remember with these quick goals that you see, you don't see many scored in the first 20 seconds of a game, let alone the first 15 seconds. I always hark back and think, my goodness, San Marino did score after 9 seconds.
I loaded up my stream to watch it, and as they kicked off, someone went, Vish, they've scored.
Yeah.
They kicked off.
You're like, nah.
The delay.
Was it your brother?
It was the delay's worth of goal. That,
wow.
That was unreal.
Your brother messages you when Man United equal. Can see, doesn't he sort of go, ooh?
Yeah, or he voice notes me, Sue.
Is that right?
Got a lot of those this season.
There was a chap I met once. He's a big Hibs fan, who was quite well connected to the club. And he said that a family member, maybe his uncle, someone is a Hearts fan, and every time Hibs would concede a goal, any with a midweek game on the weekend or other, so he just texts him, whoops. Quite enjoyable. Yeah. But yes, but a fantastic goal.
Yeah, I mean, it's the sort of thing where it's not even like it's really come from a mistake, is it?
No.
It's just a brilliant goal.
They shouldn't have let it bounce in between, you know, the penalty box and De Bruyne when he's encroaching on. But other than that, like, it's absurd.
It wasn't a sucker punch. It was a cold punch, I suppose. What would you sort of call
it? It was just the first punch.
Yeah, it was just a really early,
just a really,
one.
Really heavy blow.
But that's the surprising thing about Gundogan's strike there, because you'd think even though they go through the warm up and everyone's really prepared. Mm. You know, even our low level of football, you want a couple of touches first, don't you? Before you attempt a first-time volley.
Yeah, and also... Like, he
one Man United touch, was it, before they scored?
Essentially set up the volley.
Yeah, right. And he probably thought to himself, oh, it's not going to get much better than that, is it, for the remainder of
the
game?
Well, that's the thing. He totally fucked up his second volley and that winning as well.
I know, when it's your day, it's your day. But it was a remarkable start. And even Guardiola, who looked very, relaxed and loose and happy and joyous when he was being interviewed after. He was saying, oh, you know, this is what we planned, the long ball. And he was joking and laughing around. I thought, we don't often see him like that. I think he's a real character, this we know. And I think sometimes people can mistakenly think Guardiola is
a pervert.
No, is careful. Is a little bit more like, I say, a Marcelo Bielsa type, who's sort of a little bit introverted and not necessarily introverted, might be the right word, but quiet and retiring, and I'll let the players just get involved in celebrations and all that. He's not like that at all, of course.
But that's the difference between him and Bielsa, I suppose, and that's why players respond to him, because he is emotionally invested in them as people as well.
Yeah.
And they recognise that, and they acknowledge the fact that you can play at that level, you can be at that level and still have a humanity to you.
Yeah,
even though he's a bit chaotic. Like, his celebration for the second Gundogan goal is one of the worst things I've seen an adult man do. In that setting. You know, that's worse than Pardew, I think.
Because
the Pardew thing, there is a semblance of rhythm there. We might not like it.
No, but Pardew was so contrived. There. It was so contrived.
Yeah, it was contrived.
Guardiola's in the moment. And obviously it's
Pardew's
funny.
Trying to make everything about himself.
Yeah.
Guardiola's just being his very weird
The cameras,
self.
Obviously the cameras are always on the managers. And so...
I'll take Pardew over Guardiola any day.
Okay. Fine.
I mean, not to hang out with him. I'm not going for a drink with him.
All right, okay. Manager football.
I think both have got their merits there in terms of the story. Because you're not. Let's be honest, you're not going to befriend either of them.
Yeah.
But Guardiola, I reckon if you went for a drink with Guardiola, it'd be like, unfortunately, what I haven't really experienced with P, but I would like to. But I remember you two both saying that he's the type of person where he'll go to a bar and after a drink be like, I need to go somewhere else.
Yeah.
But just for the sake of going somewhere else,
absolutely.
Rather than because that bar is not any good.
Yes.
I reckon that's Guardiola.
You'd be exhausted. After.
Yeah.
But Guardiola is an amazing mix of, because what you were saying there, there's the humanity side of him, gets the players responded. Again, because of the tactical innovation, because of the genius behind all that, you could say, well, he's all head. But he's as much heart as he is head.
Oh, yeah, he's a very emotional manager as well. Yeah. Isn't he? But he's very good at getting his teams to channel that emotion.
Mm.
And I suppose, use it in bursts where they need it.
Yeah.
And this game was a really odd spectacle after that game. I don't know how you felt watching
after the goal, how
you felt watching it with skin in the game, Vish. But you're in a really weird situation up against Man City when they've scored that early, because they're so press resistant that you actually, if you really go after them, you potentially put yourself in a bit of trouble, to the point where I wonder if that like mythology is so strong around them that actually you probably could press them and you might get a bit of joy, but teams just don't.
With regards to Man City, is that, you know, this has been such a season of two halves for them. First half of the season, we know that they, did, for their own standards, didn't quite convince. And the second half, they've been absolutely superb. He knows his best team now. He knows how to play, even though they have lots of different ways of playing within that, if you see what I mean.
It's funny because of the conversation people were having. I think probably they were having this conversation for the sake of having a conversation, but at the start of the season when there was the pontificating about whether Haaland makes him stronger or weaker. Mm-hmm. But weirdly, I think I totally agree with what you say in terms of he knows his best team and he's known it for a while. Mm-hmm. But I think he's helped by having one of those positions plugged by Haaland.
Yeah, true. But I think if you look around European football at the moment, who are the great teams? You know, I mean, look in the Premier League. Arsenal, the second best side this season, and they outperformed. Nobody would have thought they would have finished second.
Mm.
And so Manchester City, it is a real opportunity for them. They've won two out of three. There's not a lot of quality in the Premier League compared to one, two, three, four seasons ago. Really, no. Looking at Liverpool there, who were challenging Manchester City.
I think that's quite temporary, though, isn't it? That's because of the form of those teams.
Of course. Okay, so the form of the teams, however you want to say, you know, Liverpool's slightly in transition.
Sorry, and I mean like literally this year. Obviously, you are talking about form, really.
But you take your chances. I mean, well, Leicester City was the same when they won the league, you know, but there's the window of opportunity. Can you take it? And Manchester City, obviously very different to Leicester City, not comparing the two, but just more talking about this window of opportunity in which they could have that transitional period within the season because they didn't have a 90-odd point season. A Liverpool having a 90-odd point season. So you have that. And in European competition, again, who are the great teams in Europe? We thought Ancelotti's Milan. Well, look at the way they put them to the sword in one of the finest performances you will ever see.
There's no
on
one
a
near
football
them.
Pitch.
And that's exactly. What's so galling about it, isn't
exactly.
it? So and Liverpool, going back to them, are a sort of great example of this. Mm-hmm. And actually, the points total that Arsenal's form was on at mm-hmm. various points during the season that mm-hmm. they would mathematically need to get to and the form they'd need to maintain. Teams have to have their best ever teams to get these points totals now.
Yeah.
And that's like, it's just crazy.
Indeed.
And that's what makes me think that, you know, I'll be very impressed if Inter can even give them a game.
Yeah.
Because they're so brilliant at stifling teams with possession mm-hmm. that it's sort of, you're not really going to get a back and forth against them, are you?
No.
Because they're so in control of every aspect of the game.
Well, what did you think of this one? Because, I mean, 2-1, you know, the Gundogan second goal, De Gea a little bit criticised. It slightly reminded me of that Cantona goal against Liverpool in the 96 final, was it?
James had come out and punched that and was a little bit in no man's land.
Yeah, but it reminded me of it in that it seemed to... That was a truer hit than Gundogan's one, but it goes through a group of players, and you think as the ball's sailing through the air, well, somebody's going to stop that.
Mm. Well, I think it's Lindelof turns to look at De Gea, and you could tell, even from the back of his head, Lindelof being like, oh no.
You've got that, oh, maybe not.
Yeah.
And slow motion, you know, often doesn't tell certainly the truest story in those kind of situations. But it was looking like a man diving in his dream, his nightmare.
I'd be reluctant to really stick the boot into De Gea personally. But I mean,
at least he dived. That was my thought.
So, did you think it was is that bad? Really,
I think it's soft.
Yeah, I think it is soft. I can understand. And to be fair, it took me a few rewatches of the first goal, the first volley, to realise it didn't actually go straight in the top corner. But there's, you know, the ferocity of the hit.
Caught so
the time,
cold.
It caught everyone cold, let's be fair. I thought the second goal, he could have done a bit better. I thought he was a bit too in his own head after the first goal as well.
Possibly.
I thought, I wouldn't say United were, because City's dominant mm-hmm. is such that you just need to be, you need to over-egg your own ability to go toe-to-toe with them in a footballing sense rather than literally play. Yeah. But I thought, you know, just to go back quickly to what Jim said at the start about like almost psyching yourself out, they are so good at avoiding the press that they kind of embarrass you when they do that.
Yeah.
Like John Stones, there was a period where, I mean, what an incredible last couple of months he's had, by the way. But there was a moment where he took out four United players with one turn.
Yeah. Yeah.
They weren't necessarily all near him, but everyone was going one way and he was going the other.
Yeah.
And that in itself is quite deflating. And they had a lot of those moments to the extent that, you know, we haven't actually spoken about the penalty yet.
Yeah,
but, geez, that could have been, without that goal, it could have been a bit of a bloodbath.
Well, that's the funny thing is that I was going to say, Jim, that Manchester City were pretty much in control. I mean, there was a moment towards the end of the game where Manchester United hit the bar and it was, you know, a bit of a melee.
Well, if he has a better touch there, something happened.
Yeah.
You know, it's the second steal in 90 minutes, but...
Sure, yeah, I mean, yeah, exactly. But other than that, I mean, Man City were pretty much in control.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I suppose from Manchester United's point of view, they'll think, ah, but really two soft-ish goals. Certainly the second one, you would argue.
Avoidable.
But then the fact is... But those goals did go in, so therefore Manchester City didn't need to find a second one.
Because this is the other thing.
There is definitely a sense that they had more gears to go through if they needed it.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder if this is easy to just project onto it, but wonder if they're saving a little bit because they've still got the Champions League final, which is astonishing to watch in game. I was struck by how strange this game might seem if you you didn't really know much about football when you watched it, because there's one team just strolling around at a really a quite slow pace, just knocking the ball around between each other, and another one just not really trying to stop them do that, which would look really strange if you didn't know the context of what City do when you come at them with pace.
But that's the kind of the what word, not bluff, but the, you know, the Man City, they're not strolling.
It's the reputation, isn't it?
No. What I was going to say is that one can think, and obviously I'm not saying you were saying this, but one can think that they're strolling and just knocking it around. They have got so much focus and intensity and purpose.
The ball is where it is for a reason.
Totally.
Three or four different reasons that you can't see.
And of course, if you go in and try and pounce in that situation, then suddenly there's the turn of pace.
Stones is taking three players out with a single turn.
Well, it's bait, isn't it?
Totally.
Yeah.
And it's absolutely, in pure footballing terms, whatever one may think about the ownership and the money and all that, in pure football terms, it is utterly magnificent.
Yeah, even the lead up to Manchester United's equaliser, the thing I found interesting was there was a period there where it actually took United maybe about 30 seconds to actually start knocking the ball around, because they'd brought the ball into City's half. City were standing off them, because rightly they figured United don't play particularly quickly. We can react to everything we do. We don't necessarily need to be proactive. And the quicker United pass the ball, that was essentially what led to Bissaka being free on that side and heading the ball into Grealish's arm for a deserved penalty.
So go on then. We'll talk about the penalty. Very controversial. I mean, people had very strong opinions about this. Yeah. Did you think it was a penalty?
I suppose there are two questions there. A, no, I didn't. Yeah. And as soon as they started looking at it, I thought penalty.
Yeah, so, so give that. We know the rules are going to give that a penalty. So we know that when you read the rules and so on, blah, 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 blah.
I thought Grealish, even in his anger at the end of the game, talking about it, cut to the core of it, really. He's like, I'm not even looking. Yeah. And he was like, I can understand if I was turned the other way and it hit my hand. But, you know, what is he supposed to do?
I mean, where your arms are is based on balance, right?
Yeah.
You can't sort of unbalance yourself on the off chance that the ball might hit you.
Presumably you don't think it was a penalty.
Well, I'm the same as you.
If you were making the rules.
If I were making the rules, I would try and look at that. But I think this is one of those things that is impossible to have a completely fair and completely rational rule on. The argument that's been put forth a lot is that a penalty is, you know, essentially a 75% chance of a goal.
Yeah.
And is that infringement really worth that? I think we'd all agree no. So people are talking about indirect free kicks in the box potentially, or making the penalty box smaller as solutions to it. I'm not sure we want to be changing the size of the penalty box, because that sounds a bit mad.
Yeah.
But I think, yeah, maybe something like an indirect free kick in that situation is...
We could void the game and play it again then, couldn't we?
You want to lose by and lose again?
No.
Right. I would take a 2-1 loss, I would.
Look, I'm quitting without saving, starting again.
Fish, Manchester United players have got a silver medal, okay, right now. That could be taken off them if they play the game again. Well, I think that it was a lifeline to Manchester United, and Bruno Fernandes is not going to pass up that opportunity. But again, it was really, I suppose you could say, delaying the inevitable. And it was interesting to see the Manchester City players after the game, because there was a few of them. Haaland was one, Grealish was another. They were going one more.
Yeah.
So there's this determination now, talking about the treble, which obviously they'd been sort of a little bit coy or quiet on. Whereas even Guardiola, as I said at the start, he said, right now we can talk about the treble.
Yeah, but that's obvious, isn't it?
It is obvious.
It's the only one left.
But I wonder, of course.
Fundamentally, it feels like that approach there, one more left, is the right. I think is the right way to do it.
To stay focused, you celebrate that victory, and you go, but we're not done.
Yeah,
yet.
Okay. Because they did celebrate it. You know, those videos from the dressing room of Jack Grealish's Gucci bag taking a pounding because the kit man, you know, skidded into it. Like, they were obviously enjoying it to a point.
There was none of that going on when we were in that dressing room.
No, we just didn't think to skid around.
Yeah. Pete left early.
What about when Pete was wet? You could have got him along the floor.
Yeah, he missed opportunity.
Do you know what? He probably did it when none of us were looking. Do you know what I mean? He'd probably release a video soon enough. I don't know. We shall see. Man City team had a little rendezvous with Elton John at Manchester
Airport.
They did.
Yeah, I think he just happened to be there. Yeah. Wanted to say hello.
Wasn't a rendezvous. Was it? Not a planned one.
It was really weird.
It was not that weird. He was performing in Manchester.
Oh, right.
And he was just hanging around the airport for a couple of days.
Happened to be on the airfield.
Wouldn't he be...
happened to be on the tarmac.
Anyone, is he a pilot? Anyone need a lift anywhere?
He's more of a rocket man.
There you go.
Why is he coming through arrivals then? Surely he'd be going the other way.
I don't know.
Or were they playing at the same time?
Why are you asking me stuff I don't know?
I don't know. You're the one who brought it up. Met in the passport queue? Fine, I'll accept that.
They had a sing song, didn't they?
Did they?
Yes. A lot of the Man City.
You'd forgive me for not watching all of Man City's celebration videos.
But you're a big Sir Elton John fan.
You know what? I could take or leave him, actually.
Really?
I do like Benny and the Jets, but I think that's about it.
Surely Yellow Brick Road.
Yellow Brick Road? Did he write that?
Good. I've got that right, haven't I? Goodbye, Yellow Brick Road. Yeah, that's him, yeah. Rocket Man, as Jim said, that's a great one. Saturday night's all right for fighting. Maybe they had a big
Your
fight.
Song?
That is my song.
No, that little girl ruined it.
Which little
Ellie
girl?
Ellie Goulding. She's short, isn't she? She's not little.
Unbelievable. That would be quite funny, though, if, like, for some reason, a big fight came out, like, went off between them, and obviously it'd be on Saturday night. Be fitting, wouldn't it?
Fitting.
So you are...
Guardiola and Sir Elton going at it on the runway.
If something had been said, taken the wrong way somehow.
We beat your lot 6-0 last time. It was only 2-1 this time.
I've had enough of this.
He's in his tracksuit, you know, you can get involved.
Ready?
He's always in a tracksuit, isn't he?
He is.
It's always velour, though. It's not a fighting tracksuit.
What's a fighting tracksuit?
I don't know, like a shell suit?
What, like Sunnis?
I think that's worse than a velour suit, isn't it? You're going to get far less, like, movement in a shell suit.
Really?
Yeah. The shell suit's got that little thing inside it, isn't it? And then you've got the plasticky shell over the top of it. That's the worst. That's the worst type of fighting
suit. I do know what you mean, though. You want a nylon, the classic sort of...
I mean, to wipe the blood off easily.
Yeah, true enough. Yeah. Well, there was no fighting, that we know of.
To clarify, you are disappointed that Elton John hasn't piled into the City squad there.
Yeah. I am a little bit as well, actually, got to think of it.
I think he's a disgrace.
Imagine if breaking news, Haaland and Daff were the Champions League final. Got sparked out by Sir Elton John.
He's got Haaland in a headlock.
Absolutely sucker punched him. You wouldn't see it coming.
You wouldn't.
About a man called Benny.
Oh, dearie me. Yeah. Where does this leave Manchester United, Vish? Not Sir Elton John.
A shit.
No?
No, I do.
It's been a good season.
It has. It has, but kind of similar to, the Villarreal defeat. There was, in the Europa League final, there's an element of, like, United don't seem to take much from these disappointments, or certainly take as much as I should probably
say. That's a very different loss to this one.
It is. But there was, it was interesting that Erik ten Hag watched the, as all losing teams do in those kind of finals, they watched City collect the trophy and celebrate. And he said in his press conference afterwards that, A, it was it's the respectful thing to do. Mm-hmm. And B, also, like, you should watch that and learn from that disappointment. Yeah. And basically take that feeling, mm-hmm, and do what you can. Use it as motivation, mm-hmm, to never feel like that again.
Yeah.
And I certainly abide by that. I think this United team, of even the way this season has panned out, they've taken a lot of pastings. Mm-hmm. There's been a lot of emotional lows there. And I do think elements of that are unsustainable. Mm-hmm. And I don't mean going to the well and things like that. I think, like, this is a United team with a lot of good parts, a lot of parts that need to be shipped out, and it does need some replacements in some quite key areas. But I also do think that they're all very aware of their own mortality, and I think in a sport,
what do you think is going to happen?
Well, no, okay. In a sporting context, I mean,
okay,
but they're very aware of their flaws, and even when they do well, the bad times never feel that far away.
Uh-huh.
And I think they need to spend a lot of this summer basically rebuilding that kind of that bulletproof mentality that you need. Like, Arsenal had it for large parts of the season.
But do you not think it's because their City rivals are bulletproof?
I think there is definitely a bit of little brother syndrome in that. Which is something a Manchester United team has never really had to deal with to this level. And it's only getting bigger. And I suppose they need to make that gap.
And I think they look at Man City and go, we'll never be able to get to that level.
Yeah. Look at the size of him.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, dear. Well, as I say, it's been a good season, though, for Manchester United, when all things considered. And it's been an incredible one for Manchester City, and it's not over yet. They've still got that Champions League final. All right, everybody, let's have a quick break.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Otra vez, dale, 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 bien, bien, good, 1-0, dale, Victor, come on, Victor, come on, Gonzalo, bien, bien, Pizarro, good, good.
I like this kind of work.
I like it. Because he doesn't have that kind of work anymore.
He doesn't.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody. I have never had such a response to a story on Twitter before in all my life. We recorded a day early our preview show last week because we were in the Wembley changing rooms, of course. You're not going to get access to them the day before the cup final. We're very pleased with ourselves. We talked. We even mentioned Fizzer and Inter Miami.
We did.
Messi, of course. All, you know, that story that's sort of bubbling away and blah, blah, blah. And then what happens? Phil Neville gets sacked after we recorded.
Well, at least we you know, we spoke about him. We gave him his flowers, so to speak. In a weird way.
He was sacked hours after our recording on Thursday. We always record on a Friday.
Yeah.
Of all the bloody... So yeah,
we're the victims here.
Yeah, we are.
You also, you say this like, A, it's a huge story. It's not. Yeah. And
starting the second half.
And B, that it wasn't coming. And let me throw a C in there, that this wasn't overdue either.
Yeah. I mean, we were talking about Phil Neville potentially managing Messi, just hanging in there long enough for even the photo. Yeah. If the Inter Miami Barcelona deal happens, that can't happen.
Well, I tell you what,
Phil Neville can't manage Messi.
Also, the way you started the story was that the idea that Messi's now unlikely to come because Neville's not there.
Well, that's it. I think that Messi.
That's it.
That's, of course it is. That was one of Messi's stipulations. I don't know what, you know, I need a new club. I've conquered Europe many times over, blah, 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 blah. I come to Inter Miami, but you need to get rid of him and then I'll come along. that's what it is. David Beckham released a statement explaining the decision. He said, Phil made a real contribution to the culture of our club. With his qualities as a leader and knowledge as a coach. That's what. Sometimes in this game, we have to make the toughest decisions. Sadly, we feel the time is right to make a change. The time is not right, David. The time to make a change was ages ago, but you've finally done it. But they are friends and it's obviously tough. Fizzer leaves the job with a 38.89% win percentage. So that's more than a third of the games he won.
Yeah. It's not bad, I guess.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, poor old Fizzer.
Well, is it surprising that a man who doesn't like the concept of friends hasn't been the best leader?
Maybe that news finally got leaked to David Beckham. He's like, what, does he not have any mates? Not even me? Right, get rid.
Mm.
I'm off to the cup final in Wembley.
Can I have a knighthood?
if I sack Phil Neville, can I have a knighthood? Surely everyone will enjoy that.
Services to Inter Miami. So Fizzer's gone. Poor old Fizzer.
Acued.
Oh, dear. But yeah, so, I mean... I would imagine that we have some Inter Miami fans listening, because if we don't, then I don't know what I've got to do to court your leadership. But they're going to get a lot less mentions now. Let's be honest.
They are. Well, it depends, doesn't it? David Beckham's still there. It's there's still a chance that he might put another one of his mates in charge.
Yeah. I mean,
who do you reckon would fit into, let's say, South Beach and just the general culture of partying?
I'll tell you
and hedonism
thinking.
In Miami. Who? Yeah,
Big Sam Allardyce.
Well,
come on, gold chain round his neck, fist pumping to Rihanna, living on top of a massive tower block, getting a helicopter to training.
You
every
know
day.
Exactly who I'm thinking of, and he for some reason features in odds for the. But what job was it? The Tottenham job.
It was the Tottenham job.
We're going early on this.
Yeah, we might as well. You brought up Phil Neville inexplicably at the start of this half. We might as well jump to where you're going to finish this show up.
I genuinely wasn't going to.
Let's do it now.
No, I want to finish with Sven. Sven-Göran Eriksson. Yeah, it'd be perfect for him. I mean, he's currently 30-1 to take the Spurs job.
Mm.
That's worth a quid, isn't it?
30-1.
Those odds should be way higher, or should be way lower, really. If they really, you know.
It's worth a quid. Well, he's toss it in a fountain.
Post it directly to him.
That would be. I mean, I think about what Sven.
No underwear in this.
Sven and David, they got on very well, of course.
Yeah.
I think that would be a match made in heaven. To be perfectly honest. Tomorrow we've got a special. Farewell to Fizzer plan, so keep an eye out for that, by the way. But I would like to ask any Inter Miami fans who listen to the show, who would you like to take over from Fizzer? Where do you go from this? Hard act to follow, my goodness. But I would say that in other footballing
never
news,
been a better time to have that job.
Yeah. Sam Allardyce has departed from Leeds United, of course. That's not a surprise, really, is it? He now holds the record for the shortest managerial reign in Premier League history, just 30 days.
Which is slightly unfair, because it was probably only going to last this long anyway. But.
Yeah. Well, lead CEO Angus Kinnear said, "We thank Sam for being brave enough to step in and do all he could to save us." Did Allardyce write that statement for him?
To be honest, I mean, it's quite hard to sneer at this, isn't it?
It is.
I mean, he really was up against it.
He was on a hiding to nothing.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I mean, some people might say...
He didn't have time to get them to...
No, totally not. It was been reported, though, that he wanted to stay at Leeds in an upstairs role and help the club find their next manager.
Was this after slagging off the whole squad?
Yeah. I don't want to go down there. Yeah. They hate me.
I don't
know. Can I sit up there with you? No, get out.
Anyway, let's get back to proper footballing matters, shall we? Celtic beat Inverness Caledonia Thistle 3-1 on Saturday to win the Scottish Cup final and set a new world record by winning their eighth domestic treble. I mean, people might say, oh, well, it's Celtic and of course they're going to win. So it's incredible.
Yeah,
it's absolutely incredible. Look, for the rest of Scotland, it is boring.
Boring, yeah.
It
absolutely.
Really is boring. Let's be perfectly honest. But that shows you what an amazing job and what an amazing time Celtic have been having, because surely any football club is, you want everyone to be bored of you winning, if you see what I mean, because it shows you are winning and winning and winning. I mean, in England, we could say we're a bit bored of Manchester City winning and winning and winning, but...
There is no sense for the Celtic fans that they're bored of it.
No, exactly. Yeah. I mean, the thing is that the Scotland used to have a two horse race, and I think as Kevin Bridges says, you know, one of the horses got shot, you know, put down or whatever. And again,
sad Ken,
a lovely bottom reference, but it shows you also the incredible job Steven Gerrard did in that season to stop Celtic.
And he's shit.
Yeah, right. What's the takeaway then?
I don't know.
Go up to Scotland, you might have a chance. Okay, but an eighth domestic treble is very, very impressive. And a fifth trophy at Celtic for Joe Hart.
Yeah.
It is nice to have to see Joe Hart in a home where he's loved and he feels welcome and he's doing well. Well, you know, he was going around the houses when he loaned deals and all that kind of stuff. He popped up at Spurs for a short while, and now look at him, Vish, winning trophies.
Yeah, well done, Joe Hart.
Yeah, you're not, no comment on
well,
that?
Well, no, I would generally be quite heartened if, no pun intended, if there was a situation where, say, Sam Johnson pulls out and they, like, Joe, come back.
Really?
Come back into the squad as a hype man.
I'm just fascinated as to why certain England players stick in the affections of Marcus Speller. Joe Hart, Fizzer, loves them. Like, do you care what Wayne Bridge is up to?
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Very much
yeah.
so.
Yeah. His wife is on some of the adverts on the London Underground.
She is.
Yeah. So presumably he
vitamins
took,
or whatever.
Took the photo, did he? You know,
he just doesn't have the same passion. Yeah. You can hear it. He hasn't got the same passion for Wayne Bridge.
Do you think Wayne Bridge is going around the London Underground putting photos of his wife on billboards?
I think that's an official thing. But yes. But Ange Postecoglou said after the game, it's not time to talk about my future, which clearly indicates that he's going to Spurs. Before the cup final, he said, look, you know, I'm not going to say anything. Our focus is on the cup final. All that kind of general stuff, not denying it, not saying no. Bloody, bloody, blah. I mean, I don't understand why some managers just don't lie, you know, and just go, no, there's no truth in it. Anyway, next.
Because you end up looking like a dickhead.
No, because, I mean, but isn't, yeah, I suppose so. Tottenham are reported to have reached a verbal agreement with Ange Postecoglou to be their next manager. And that is to be expected to be unveiled in the coming days. I mean, again,
it's divided the fan base, isn't it?
It has, but where he's come from in the game, to be on the verge of taking a massive Premier League club
yeah.
with the kind of budget that they probably should have, whether they will do, we don't know. But that kind of money, compared to Celtic, is huge. He'll be managing some... I mean, if Harry Kane's still there, we'll come on to him in a sec. You know, it's extraordinary.
Yeah,
you
know, it's incredible.
Reach for the stars, kids,
absolutely.
Is what I'm saying.
I mean, he's 58. It's taken him a long, long time yeah. to sort of build up this CV and build up this currency and this credit in the bank. Mm. And I think it's a really interesting appointment. I can completely understand why Spurs fans might be underwhelmed by it or a little bit.
Yeah, but I think they're going off the obviously, his look, and why that is the case is because they're looking at his CV and going, well, hang on, who are the big sides he's managed? But Celtic are a huge club and there's pressure there, despite them winning all those trophies. But the way... It's a bit like when Brendan Rodgers went to Celtic.
Yeah.
People think that it is just a given that you're going to win domestic trebles. Of course, it's easier to win a domestic treble.
But it's about
Celtic.
The domination, isn't it?
It's about the domination and the manner in which you do it. And to... you know, there are hard acts to follow as well sometimes in football. And so when Rodgers went up there and cleaned up, I think people were a bit sniffy and go, well, he never won the league at Liverpool. He got sacked by them. Yeah. It's kind of like, well, no, but actually the job he did there was very, very impressive. You can still do a really good job at somewhere yeah. like Celtic. And I think the way that his players enjoyed playing for him, the kind of figure he cuts, the organisation and all the rest of it, I actually think that's not a bad appointment. We shall see. I understand there's an element of gamble because he's never managed in the Premier League.
Well, status managers haven't really done much for Spurs.
But exactly, Vish. Yeah. I mean, this guy...
It depends on what the remit is, really, doesn't it? I suppose a crack at the top four is really best case scenario, I suppose. They're not going to be going for a title anytime soon, are they? So that's still...
Yeah,
quite a significant improvement on last season. Mm-hmm. But if he's got a 2-year contract with an option for a third, I think they do need to build something again, don't they? And he's earned the right to be in that conversation. I think it's interesting.
Yeah, I do as well.
There's an element of like you can't necessarily take too many cues from what he's done at Celtic because of their dominance, and you know even just like the way they play week to week, where you could have more of the ball. Mm-hmm. Spurs obviously not going to play like that. But then if you look further back in his career. I suppose let's talk specifically with Australia, where you're picking from a specific pool of players of you know limited talent. We should say that, and getting them to compete, and then looking at all the different systems that he's used. Whether it's now we're talking about Spurs, whether it's five at the back, three at the back, or four at the back, he clearly is someone who knows how to put players into systems, work with what he's got, and as you said before, Marcus, like clearly an engaging character, clearly someone who. Knows that there is a little bit more to football than just what happens, you know, 90 minutes on a Saturday or Sunday.
Yeah.
And I think he'll be good for them, especially if they're going to be contending with life beyond Harry Kane, wherever it is Kane ends up in. You do need a little bit of a restart without having a complete refresh. Mm-hmm. And I genuinely think he's going to be really exciting. I think the football they're going to play is going to be fascinating to see. And I also think just Andy Postecoglou behind a mic is, pretty good viewing.
And also, the interesting thing is that when Spurs have hired Jose Mourinho, Antonio Conte and whatnot, it's not the biggest job they've had.
No.
And they get frustrated, understandably so. Whereas he'll go there and he'll be like, okay, I'm not saying he's going to be like a kid in a sweet shop necessarily. You know, the guy's got, the guy deserves respect, and he's got his standards and all the rest of it. But it will be a bigger budget than he's probably had before. He will be managing players, the level of player that he's never managed before. With that could indeed come, with him, less expectation or less anger at certain decisions being made. Again, I'm not saying he's there to make up the numbers. I'm not saying he's there and if silly decisions are made, he's going to go, oh, well, you know, this is just brilliant that I can spend a few more quid and work with, you know, Harry Kane or Heung-min Song or whatever. But perhaps what's been going on at the club with some of the toxicity and so on, maybe they need someone who's a little bit more of a clean slate at that level.
Well, yeah. I mean, there's a sense of stalled momentum with Spurs. And it comes obviously from those managerial appointments that, for whatever reason, haven't worked out. And obviously they finished eighth last season. So he will be able to improve on that, you would think. So it's really interesting.
Yeah. Will Harry Kane be there? That is the question. Because Karim Benzema has left Real Madrid after 14 glorious years, it's fair to say. What a player.
More goals than Raul. If Ronaldo wasn't there, and obviously you get into the realms of whataboutery there, but, you know, Raul was the king there for a long time, and very, very quietly, Karim Benzema has gone about eclipsing his numbers for Real Madrid. He is an unbelievable footballer.
Yeah, absolutely brilliant. And in the twilight of his time at Real Madrid as well, really, really turned.
You know, I really love, though, that he got his moment in the limelight. He got to be their main 100%. Man for a few seasons.
Definitely. Wins the Champions League in that time as well. Yeah. Obviously, because you're probably bound to. But he's leaving. He may well be going to Saudi Arabia, of course.
Have you seen some of the figures reported?
Go on.
Like a stock, like $643 million over like 3 or 4 years.
That's not happening.
It's absurd.
Yeah, well, but that's where he's...
Can I have a tenner?
That's where he's reportedly going. He scored his 354th goal for Real Madrid in his final appearance yesterday, which was a nice little send-off for him. Reports, though, that Harry Kane is being lined up to replace him.
I think Harry Kane wants that Premier League record. I don't think he'll go to Real Madrid.
So I agree with that as well.
He would like some trophies in his career.
And Manchester United are in for him. I think they're putting together a move at the moment. And obviously I want that to happen. And I understand, you know, being the Premier League's leading scorer has its own, you know, clout. But that can't be his motivation for staying purely.
I agree.
Because what does it mean? Like someone, I'm stealing this from someone who posted it on Twitter yesterday, and it's a very funny tweet, but it cuts to the core of it. So what, he just wants to see his name at the top of a Match of the Day graphic?
Yeah, exactly.
I
think what Man United have got to do is convince him that they can win trophies there, which at the moment looks really, really difficult. So I think they have to go, look, Harry, we're going to sign this player and this player and that player. We're going to give Slabhead some money to leave, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. They have really, really got to sell him a project there,
I know,
which is difficult. And at Real Madrid, it's very, very different. But I just wonder if that will be more appealing to him.
I would have thought
everyone involved has to sell him on a project.
Yeah, definitely.
Apart from Real Madrid.
But I would hope his motivation for staying in England, staying in the Premier League, is based on whatever Manchester United sell him. And because if he's not convinced that and he still goes to Manchester United or stays at Spurs, I mean, it's not, you know, his career, he can do what he wants. But I feel like there's something about that Real Madrid move that could just, not just a trophy, but just tick him up a level.
Yeah, I agree with you.
I think Daniel Levy's plan will be to hold him to his contract so that Man United and Real Madrid are both forced to go elsewhere so that they don't need a striker next season, and then spend this season trying to convince him to sign a new deal.
Well, Spurs, I mean, need to spend big, let's be honest.
Imagine how much Charlie Kane is sweating right now, by the way. I can't fuck this up again.
Yeah, I think with Kane, I always get the impression he wants to stay in England. I'd be very surprised if he left Real Madrid. There's sort of the kind of quotes he comes out with, kind of, you know, he clearly wanted to go to Manchester City that time. I think he wants to win trophies here. I think he wants to win a Premier League winner's medal.
I also think, and this isn't necessarily to say that you know, he's a typical narrow-minded Brit or whatever. But I also think, you know, he's got a young family. I think he's got three kids. It's quite hard to ask your family to do that
it's
for
a big
you.
Move.
It is a huge move, especially bear in mind that you live at home. You know, they live around their family. Mm-hmm. Now that is a big deal, mm-hmm. and that shouldn't just be dismissed because, oh, you don't want to win a trophy, you mm-hmm. know.
Yeah, I think, yeah, the Premier League top scorer thing, I think, would be a fantastic achievement and a bonus, but I don't think that's what I think I'd be surprised, because, you know, he's top scorer in Spurs history. That was a big thing to tick off, but he wanted to move before that. Let's be honest, that interview he did with Gary Neville that we can forget, but that was one could say that was really piss poor behaviour.
It's been sort of quite well managed, that, hasn't it? Because it's forgotten about. If you compare it to Wayne Rooney, who was agitating to move from United a lot, and that's been well remembered. Another thing with this as well, we talk about Kane potentially, you know, not wanting to leave England for family reasons or you know, all the various reasons he might stay in England. I've been to the Bernabeu. Mm. I wanted to play for Real Madrid the moment I walked in there. Like, they have a pull that is unique. And if you know they're interested in you,
that's all they need. Might. That Perez needs to go is just come and watch a game. Come for a little tour. And you're right, he would walk around and be like, I know this is an evil empire, but I want to be a part of it.
Yeah.
Hand me a red lightsaber.
Totally.
Oh God, I'm 40 now, but
and there was never any suggestion that I might have anything resembling a future in the game. But if I nip to the gym now and then I just come back later and see if there's any jobs going, like, it's such an appealing place.
Yes, it is.
It was so appealing that it made me watch through Goal, the movie.
The second one. Yeah. Yeah, very true.
And I was like, okay, well, you know, that was, I could understand that. But even, like, even as facetious as that point is, that's the natural end point to that kind of story.
Yeah.
You play for Real Madrid, mm-hmm. and that isn't lost in this current generation of football at the moment.
Hugo Lloris has said he wants to leave Tottenham Hotspur this summer.
I think that's good for both parties.
Well, he said, it's an end of an era. I have a desire for something else. Presumably a desire to win trophies, because as we know, a lot of players, when they leave Spurs, they win trophies. As we've seen recently with Toby Alderweireld.
Oh my God. That was an astonishing end to a really confusing league.
Yeah. If you don't know how the Belgian league works,
no one does.
Don't ask me. Google it and good luck to you.
It turns into a tiered playoff system, doesn't it? Where the top four teams play each other twice. And then there's a Europa League equivalent, and relegation has got a similar element to it as well, with the sort of third from bottom place team playing a team from the division below it. It's like basically the national team has dropped off a lot now, so Belgium don't get to be the, you know, the hipsters team of choice. So I think they've gone, well, maybe if we make our domestic league really confusing, then we can attract the hipsters that way.
Yeah.
But it's paid off with this season. Well, an astonishing ending.
Alderweireld was an absolute beauty.
Yeah, what a goal.
Right at the end.
He always said he would return to play for Antwerp, didn't he? And then he's won them the league with essentially the last kick of the game.
Their first league title in 66 years.
Incredible.
What a return.
And he's 34.
That's what leaving Spurs do to you. And I said, the aforementioned Joe Hart, look how many trophies he's won since leaving Spurs.
I'm more astonished that Toby Alderweireld is 34.
Yeah, that blows my mind a little bit.
Yeah, true enough. So yeah, more motivation for Harry Kane to leave. Not necessarily the Belgian league, but, you know, we would imagine. Of course, AC Milan.
I think he'd thrive there.
Yeah, well, AC Milan are looking for a new talisman, aren't they, Jim?
They are, yeah. Zlatan's gone.
He's announced his retirement. I mean, he didn't really play that much this season.
No.
He is 41 but and Zlatan, has had injuries.
But Zlatan Ibrahimovic will no longer play football.
Yeah.
Obviously, Benzema hasn't retired. He's just left Real Madrid. Mm. But this feels like an era-defining retirement.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
This is like, you know, even, I suppose, you know, Messi and Ronaldo were the primary, like, football became the NBA type thing where you support a superstar rather than necessarily a team.
Yeah.
But Zlatan was always that person who was above any team he played, to his detriment in some instances. But this, genuinely, I'm still, you know, I think it'll take a bit of time to actually comprehend this particular retirement.
There was always this idea with Zlatan, obviously completely incorrectly, that he wouldn't cut it in the Premier League. It was always this really sort of stupid, very reductive idea about him. Mm. He was aware of it, because that's a man whose ego can be pricked, let's be honest. And he was, you know, even then he was into his 30s, wasn't he, when he came over. He was fantastic, shut everybody up.
Yeah. Well, fantastic is his first season. I mean, he scored 28 goals in 46 games in that first year for Manchester United. which on paper is a hell of a record for a guy that old. I thought it was a very, very brave and bold move that he came to Manchester United at that age, considering that he wasn't as mobile as he has been. We know he's you know, forever young, and you know, he just retired at 41 playing in Serie A, for crying out loud. I think when he moved on from Manchester United, it was time to do it because people said he kind of held up the play sometimes and they weren't as quick.
Yeah, to a point, but it's interesting when you speak to people and read about the period at United after he left.
Yeah.
Because he took something out of that dressing room, which only he brought. He had a level of discipline. He had almost a spoken, because it's Ibrahimovic, an unspoken just effect on how everyone carried themselves.
Yeah.
And this idea that, like, come on, not even just like you play for Manchester United, but I'm playing here as well. Mm-hmm. We're taking this a bit more seriously.
Yeah.
There's really interesting stuff about, I don't want to get into it too much, but in terms of like his effect on Paul Pogba was quite pronounced because Pogba really respected him.
Yeah.
And there was a sense that with him there, and he's also one of those players that other footballers respect, full stop. And so I suppose I've just explained it there, but someone like Pogba being deferential to him was quite a big deal. Mm-hmm. And he genuinely held the place together at a time when, well, as we saw, you know, eventually afterwards, it did fall apart. But he was a big loss.
He won a treble at Manchester United. Europa League. League Cup and the Community Shield. He didn't play in the Europa League final, but I think that was the only major European trophy he won in his career, surprisingly.
Also, maybe we can throw Mbappe in this, but do you think he was one of the few players to go to PSG and be insulated because of who he was?
Possibly. I mean, it was... So at the time, yeah, he left AC Milan after a successful period there, a couple of Serie A titles, and of course, they wouldn't win the league again until he returned when he was... Was he 39 or 40? I forget now. It was absolutely incredible when he went back there.
He won league titles everywhere.
Yeah, I mean, when he went back to AC Milan in 2019, you know, you look at the time he played at Milan. He's 78 appearances, 37 goals. He's not there just for a good time. He's contributing. I mean, in the 2021 season, he scored 17 goals in all competitions. He scored 15 in the league in 19 appearances. Yeah. That's just different gravy. This is the man is an absolute giant of the game. And I think because he played in a time of Messi and Ronaldo, you can forget his numbers are incredible. 511 goals in career total in club football and 866 appearances. That is absolutely different class.
Yeah.
But again, because of Messi and Ronaldo skewing the stats, but he's like that next one down. You've got those two are way out in front and Ibrahimovic is not that far behind them. And we should always remember that because every team he played for, it was absolute box office.
And then, you know, there was a sense that, oh, he's actually got so much more left in the tank that he can go back to AC Milan. And as you say, it's not just for a holiday. I think you can also make an argument that he is a club legend at Ajax, Juventus, Inter, PSG and AC Milan.
Yeah.
Which is quite astonishing.
It is.
I also think, you know, Manchester United have had a lot of brilliant players over the years. I still think it's quite cool that Zlatan Ibrahimovic played for Manchester United.
I do. I totally agree with
also,
you.
Also, we got to mention the overhead kick against England.
Oh, that was great. Yeah. he had so many critics in this country for some reason. And then he does that, and it's and it, it,
it
I think
it, was any, it part of a hat trick? Was it part of four?
It was a 4-2 victory away. And Ryan Shawcross, much as he tried, he couldn't get that one off the line.
Also, was he responsible for the first viral goal? You know, the Ajax goal.
One.
Yeah.
Oh, when he rounded everybody.
Yeah. Some people twice.
Yeah. It's just ridiculous. Just a phenomenal player. You can go on and on and on and on and on. And, you know, the AC Milan fans bidded farewell to him with a huge tifo reading, "Goodbye." In their final game against Verona last
doesn't
night.
Work, but...
But you get the sentiment. And Verona fans...
They were booing him, weren't they?
They were booing him, yeah. And even when he's speaking in one of the many languages that is not his native tongue, he says, "Keep booing, this is the biggest moment in your year seeing me." You know, even then, you know, he's a... Because one can think, can it be contrived? And at times, you know, the whole I am Zlatan thing and so on. And it did get a little bit tiresome at times. But when you see him in that moment and he turns around like a comedian dismissing a heckler, It's kind of like, yeah, he is that guy.
Yeah,
he is.
Also, he's probably not wrong.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Weird to see them in tears as well. See him in tears as well. Yeah. Like yeah, just yeah, yeah. It's what a really beautiful moment. It's worth digging out the footage and watching his goodbye to Milan because it's it's really emotional.
Yeah, incredible, absolutely incredible. What a way to finish the show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll never see the like again.
No, I don't think we will. Thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble, part of the Acast Creator Network. Do follow us on Twitter, TikTok, Instagram, and YouTube at Football Ramble. And don't forget to subscribe on your podcast app. There we are, everybody. We've got European finals coming up. Of course, we will have a Ramble React after West Ham's big one on Wednesday night. So do get involved there. Thank you very much, Jim Campbell.
Thank you.
Thank you for tuning in.
Thank you.
Thank you, Zlatan Ibrahimovic. See you soon.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Listen to this Acast show ad-free on Amazon Music with your Prime membership or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.